Welcome to Business Owners Radio. Business Owners Radio, where established business owners get the latest insights, strategies, and practices to grow a sustainably profitable business. And now, taking care of business, your hosts, Craig Moen and Shai Gilad.
Welcome to Business Owners Radio, episode 169. Today, our guest is David Jennings, author of the new book, Systemology, Business Processes Simplified. In 2016, David successfully systematized himself out of his business, one of Australia's most trusted digital agencies, MelbourneSEOServices.com. He hired a CEO and stepped back from the daily operations. Through this process, he became a systems devotee, founding System Hub and Systemology. Today, his mission is to free all business owners worldwide from the daily operations of running their businesses.
Good morning, David. Welcome to Business Owners Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Craig and I are really excited for this interview. We're really thrilled about your new book, Systemology. Tell us what inspired you to write the book.
The book was the book that I felt I wanted to read as I was growing my business. I grew my business to a certain point and then just got stuck. I was in the operations of the business, doing the day-to-day, felt like I was spinning plates, and the business had grown to reach capacity. And then I just got trapped in it. And it wasn't until we had a turning point where we found out we were going to be pregnant. And I thought, I don't want to be that dad who's always too busy and doesn't have time to hang out with the kids, because I was working incredibly long hours doing the 60, 70, 80 hour work weeks in a digital agency that I owned. And then I thought, oh, I've got to change this. And I went on that search to find out, well, how do you build a business that works without the business owner? And, you know, I'd read all the books. I'd read The E-Myth and Scaling Up and Built to Sell and Work the System. And I felt like I knew the importance of business systems, but I didn't really know how to do it or where to get started. And a lot of the material that's out there, things like Lean and Six Sigma, which talks about business systemization, they were all focused on much larger companies. And they didn't really feel like there were many books or really educational material targeted at small business systems and understanding that a business operates on a knife's edge sometimes, and you've got very little margin for error, and you've got 100 things competing for your attention. And business systems, even though they're incredibly important, they rarely get the time and the focus they need because the business owner is so busy. So when I kind of went on that search, I had a few really big insights and busted some myths and misconceptions that I had around systemization as I started to do it and stepped out of the operations and hired a CEO and now have her running that company while I've stepped away from working in the business. And that gave me huge insight that I thought, look, I've got to get this down on paper and I've got to turn it into a book. And that's what's evolved into Systemology.
That's incredible. And I know that you have been involved in a few different ventures. What business were you running when you actually had this epiphany?
Yeah, it does feel that way for business owners. Oftentimes, you've got a million different ideas and you've been involved in loads of different businesses. I'm the same. The one that I got stuck in was, it was a digital agency called Melbourne SEO. And that business had been running for 13 years. It was a staff of 15. And we had some really good success. I mean, from the outside looking in, we were doing tremendously well. Like, you'd look at it and go, oh, this guy's crushing it. He's come out with a book. He's, because I had another book, Authority Content, that I wrote. I was getting speaking engagements. We had some really big clients. Like, we had some ASX listed companies here in Australia. That's kind of like our stock market. So big listed companies. And we were doing some really good work and, you know, making good top line revenue. But the truth of the matter was, I really didn't have any sort of freedom. As much as I wanted freedom, and that's kind of why I started the business, I had anything but freedom. And if I wasn't there, the business didn't work. I was the bottleneck. Things would come through me. I'd be the one making some of the big sales. I'd be putting out the fires if clients had problems. I'd be answering questions for staff. I'd be problem solving. I'd be helping out with the marketing. I was doing all of those bits and pieces. And Yeah, that business, I loved it. But I, for some reason, came to the conclusion that at first it was, I thought, well, this business can't be systemized because it's a digital agency and the online landscape is so dynamic and everything keeps changing. So how could I possibly create systems on something that was so frequently changing? And again, yeah, that was just one of my faulty assumptions that I needed to press into to kind of break through. And I got stuck in that business for 10 years, and probably the last few years of that business, that's when I really managed to step out and find an operations person, and things started to change for me.
And how did you first get involved with SEO? Was that some training that you had or education around that?
So I got started because one of the very first things I got interested in when I was leaving school, I thought to myself, I want to make money, so let's go to where the money is. So I took out a really big loan and did one of those weekend learn to trade the stock market courses, you know, those ones that promise that you'll own an island by the end of the year. So I did one of those courses and then very quickly realized to trade the stock market, you need to have money. And I didn't. All I had was a big loan, and I was stacking shelves in a supermarket, living with my mum in a 2-bedroom flat. And I thought, well, what am I going to do now? I've just got this big debt. And I partnered up with someone that I met in that trading course, and we started creating some educational material for the software that people were learning about in this stock market course. Because a lot of the people running the program knew the rules of trading the stock market quite well, you know, how to create a trading plan and write down your entries and your exit signals and your position sizing and all those sorts of things, but they didn't have a good grasp on the software itself. So I partnered up with a guy and we wrote a study course around how to use this particular charting package, and we created the product. And then I realized, hang on, you know, it's one thing to have a great product, it's another thing to have people know it even existed. So then I needed to get interested in marketing. And then I got interested in some classic direct response stuff. Then I got interested in digital marketing. And I stayed in that business for a good number of years as well. I was effectively the marketing partner for my business partner and handled all the marketing of our products online. But it wasn't until they had some changes in Australian financial law where they required a certain level of licensing to give what they called financial advice. And it was when that happened, he said, well, look, I don't really want to get licensed. And I said, oh, okay, well, what am I going to do? I've built up this team and we're doing all the marketing for our products. What do I do now? And then that's when I thought, okay, well, I'll try and help local businesses. We'll apply all of the ideas that we developed in the stock market space for local business. And timing-wise, it just couldn't have been better because it was the early days and the heyday of SEO. And we'd been competing in a hyper-competitive space, like trading stock market stuff is super, super competitive. So when I took those same ideas and then approached it to your local dentist and things like that, we were just absolutely dominating. And that's kind of how the agency grew really quickly, because I took all of that IP that we developed in that space and then applied it to local business.
That's just brilliant. And so it sounds like you're really kind of self-taught.
Yeah, I think, well, at that time, they didn't have any training material around SEO. Like, it was early days. I mean, people were using software to auto generate pages that looked like search results pages that would rank incredibly well in Google. And they were using hidden text on, you know, white text on white background and stuffing keywords and using link farms and all this stuff that was just, I mean, you look back now and you kind of shake your head. But at the time, it was incredibly effective. And you just kind of had to learn it. So it was jumping on a plane, heading over to the States, going to different conferences and connecting with people and running tests and all those sorts of things. That was kind of the way that I learned.
And of all the different parts of it, like, was there one part that you really loved?
Yeah, look, the biggest thing, my first book that I wrote was a book called Authority Content. And when it comes down to it, I love the idea of creating valuable content, really genuinely interesting content that helps to solve a problem for a particular target audience that is a fantastic gateway into the rest of your products and services. And content marketing has been around since the dawn of time, and I think everybody's leaned into it. My book is called, and it's on Amazon, called Authority Content. And I came up with this method of you run a workshop You cut that workshop up into little pieces. You upload it to YouTube. You optimize it. You get it transcribed. You turn those transcriptions into blog posts. You then put that on your website and then you share it socially. And I actually did that in the stock market education space. Like I have a video, all of the videos that I did in that trading space, and this is probably going back 15 years. This is incredibly early days on YouTube. Have, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of views on them. And it was using this same strategy. So that's funny. I stumbled on that as a strategy early on and then perfected that into that model.
It's just remarkable. You know, I can't help thinking about, like you said, what an exciting time that was, right? So, and it was a little bit of an open space that you inadvertently found yourself in. But I wonder if like this interest that you had around the content creation, because, you know, that can be quite time consuming. And then you're exploring these new technologies. You know, I wonder if your enthusiasm for that, actually some of the things that maybe trapped you in the day-to-day of the business because you were so involved in the creative process.
You hit the nail on the head. And it's the same with a lot of business owners, and they're probably thinking about how they got that started in business. And oftentimes, I mean, this speaks exactly to what Michael Gerber has talked about for years, which is the idea that the business owner has this entrepreneurial seizure and they think, hey, you know, I'm a technician, I can do the thing. And because I can do the thing, I should start a business selling the thing. So the idea that because I'm a hairdresser, I think that I can run a hairdressing business. And then they very quickly realize that, hang on, it's a completely different skill to be running a business to actually cutting the hair. And I knew how to do the thing. I was the digital marketer. I knew the SEO. We learned about AdWords. We did the content. And that's what trapped me in that business. It actually wasn't until we had a side business that started up. It was Melbourne Video Production, which was, that's where the genesis of this whole idea of systemization and removing me from the operations. We had this video production company and I didn't know how to shoot or edit. Like that wasn't my strength. So from day one, I hired some videographers to run it and I needed to make the numbers work. I needed to be able to do lead generation, lead conversion. I needed to deliver the pre-shoot, the shoot, the production, the post-production, all that stuff needed to happen and needed to happen without me and it needed to be profitable. And by going through that exercise, I got some tremendous insight and realized that was a big part of what was trapping me. And I had that insight. I think a lot of business owners at some point have it where they go, if the business is dependent on me, then the business is broken. So I realized that and then I started to engineer the business. And if I ever reached the conclusion that, oh, this has to be me who does it, then I knew that came a new guiding light for me. I was like, oh, okay, well, the business is broken here. Something's not right. The product isn't right. The way I'm marketing it isn't right. The clients are, but something in there needs to be fixed because, yeah, it shouldn't be dependent on me. Otherwise, you'll never scale. And it's not just the business owner either. It's any key person dependency. You have to remove key person dependency in your business.
David, I love that litmus test of saying, you know, if someone else can't do this, then there's something wrong here. Really listening for that. And I know that that's profound because it's making me uncomfortable just thinking about some of the places where that still shows up for me in the work that I do. So I totally relate to that. And I'm sure a lot of other people can. You know, I think that now that we're living in this age where there's so many freelancers, right, the gig economy providing alternatives for people to work from anywhere and do all kinds of work. I think that that is incredible. And the challenge is, I think, is being really deliberate about where you want to go. Because as you're talking about this, I can't help but thinking about there's nothing wrong with being a great freelancer and owning that, but you still need systems in order to enable that to function really well and in order to maximize the enjoyment you get from doing the work.
There's a few key things there. The biggest thing for me about systems and what they create, systems really create space. And that space then gives you the freedom to then choose. You might be in an area in your business journey where you want to work 100 hours a week and you want to burn the candle at both ends and grow your business, and that's okay. You might be further down the road. Maybe you're looking to spend more time with your friends and family. Maybe you want to look after your health. It doesn't really matter as long as, yeah, you're aware of what it is that you want to do. And then the idea of systems is to give you that freedom, because a lot of business owners just don't have that freedom. And similarly, I suppose that speaks to the idea of what you were saying about your freelancer. And that's okay. If you recognize that's where you are, you just have to be very aware of where you want to get to. Sometimes a freelancer will start with the idea of growing your business, because that's oftentimes where you do start. You figure out who your target audience is. You try and get product to market fit. You try and work with some people and get some good results. And that's how just about every business that I've ever owned and built from the ground up started, you know, on that grassroots and delivering one-on-one. And then you kind of grow, you get a little bit of success, then you start to hire a team member or two to help you out. You know, maybe you get some contractors first and you handball some work, you outsource your bookkeeping, and then you go, oh, this is kind of working. And then you hire an admin assistant, and then you kind of keep growing a bit more, and then you hire another person to help you do some of the work. And you, what ends up happening is you cobble together a business that's almost like a Frankenstein business, because you didn't necessarily think about it up front, exactly how it was going to be built or the structure that was required, the team members, the departments, what it is that you were doing. You were kind of just doing it, and that's great in startup mode, and you have to do that to get through startup mode. But then what ends up happening is the business owner gets trapped, because you develop all of these bad habits. You train your staff every time there's a problem, you train them to come to you for that solution, because you always know how to solve the problem. You're like that knight in shining armor. You know how to do every facet of the business because you were the business when it got started and you're doing all of those pieces. But then what ends up happening is those skills that helped you to grow the business to this one level end up holding you back growing it from the next level, because you're micromanaging, because you feel like you have to be across everything. And that's why the hardest jump for a startup business owner is the jump from being that small team. You know, you can probably grow up to, I'd say, anywhere up to probably about 10 to 15 staff. And that's, you're really starting to stretch yourself at that point in time where the business owner is still heavily involved. But to grow beyond 15 staff, you have to implement systems. You have to have a way of doing things. You have to be able to delegate and have people look after responsibilities rather than individual tasks. So it depends on where you're at. If you're a freelancer, I would still be thinking about broad brushstrokes when it comes to your systemization. Don't get too heavy into systems, because then you end up spending all your time doing systems when you should be out marketing and selling your product and doing the thing. And systems can end up becoming a distraction, because you're not going to get much leverage from it if you're the only person following the system anyway. But it's still useful to have high level systems like overviews and checklists and things like that. I always just caution, if it's just a solopreneur, I'll tell them you want to get the minimum systems as possible and keep it quite light until you start to build those team members.
Listening to you, David, it's really amazing. You're in Melbourne, one of the most beautiful cities in the world, and you're really close to amazing beaches. And it's standard environment for a new business entrepreneur starting up is that vision and a dream to get free time. Once this thing gets going, I'll be able to get some free time. In your case, get to Bondi or something. And then they realize, just like you're saying, you're the core. Without you, it falls apart, and you don't realize you've trained them to do that. You like that, you feed off it, but then you don't have any time in the day. You start at 6 and you end at midnight kind of stuff. So when you looked at that and realized that you wanted to begin the business processes and systemization, what was the light that came off, and where did you start, and what was working first?
When I started to do the digital agency, one of the first things we did is we started to try and capture our systems was we put them in Word documents and then we stored them in our Dropbox folder and we tried to share them. And really quickly, it just became this unorganized mess of folders and files that were scattered everywhere. As much as we had the Dropbox, a lot ended up on people's desktops and in their Google Drive and in their email, and it was just all over. So we ended up developing a piece of software called System Hub, and that houses businesses' standard operating procedures in the cloud. That was kind of like the side business when I was in the digital agency. I thought, hey, I can't find anything that does this really well. I'm just going to go ahead and build it myself. And then I found a development team and we just started to work and we built that. And then probably about, I don't know, 4 years or 3 years had passed and we worked with a good few hundred companies that hop on that platform. And then I had a little bit of a aha, because I was trying to look at what was the difference between a business that really embraces systems and have it come part of their business and the way they do things and actually use the platform, and those that don't. Because a lot of business owners, you're already sold on the idea of systems. You've read the books. You already think that systems are the way. For whatever reason, you might have tried it though and just thought, I'm not a systems guy or I'm not a systems girl. I tried that once and it didn't work. I wrote a system and my team didn't follow it. I think that systems remove creativity, or you think that, oh, I need to be the one that creates these systems, but you're incredibly busy anyway. Like, you're a business owner, so you're doing 50 million things. The last thing you're going to do is try and find time to sit down and write a big, long, lengthy how-to document that your team's probably not going to follow anyway. So having all of those things float around and chatting with lots of different business owners, then I realized, it doesn't matter what software you have. The business owner doesn't care what software solution you're using. They want the system for systemizing business. They want to know, well, where do I start? What is the first system that I end up capturing? And, you know, rather than, again, some of these misconceptions, people look at something like McDonald's and they go, oh, I should systemize like McDonald's because McDonald's is the poster child of business systemization. Yet McDonald's has been systemizing for the last 60 years and they are amazing at what they're doing because they've done it for so long. But you trying to compete at that level would be like being a couch potato trying to compete in the Olympics. Like, you don't compete at that level. You have to start where McDonald's started 60 years ago, not where they are today. So there are all these misconceptions, and that's where I just thought, right, I need to build the system for systemizing business. And Systemology got born out of that. I thought about what are the steps, and step one in the whole process is define, and it's all about identifying what I call the critical client flow. And it's a way to reduce the overwhelm of what needs to be systemized. And the critical client flow, I mean, I can tell you exactly how to do step one right now. Get an A4 bit of paper. Think about one core product or service that you sell and who you sell it to. And then from the top of the A4 working down, think about the client and the business journey. So you think about, well, how do I get leads? How do I answer the phone when that lead comes in? How do I sell to that lead? How do I then onboard that client as the lead turns into a client? How do I take any money if I need to, like if I get paid, or how I get paid before or at the end? Then how, after they're onboarded, how do I deliver the product or service? And then how do I get them to come back? So how do you generate leads? How do you sell them? How do you then deliver the product or service? And how do you get them to come back? Map that down at a high level, just with boxes. Don't go into any detail or anything like that. And what you end up doing is capturing the 10 to 15 systems that you should start with when you systemize. Because if you can make that critical client flow work without the business owner, the business can now make money without the business owner. If you can create money without the business owner, then you start to change the game. So that's where you start. Obviously, sometimes some businesses have some other problems and you can really pinpoint some of the problems they've got, and you always look for a system solution to solve that. But that's really the best place to start. In the Systemology process anyway, we talk about identifying that critical client flow.
And me as a business owner, where do I start working with my staff? How much integration do I rely on of my staff to develop these systems?
For me, and this moves into step number two of systemology, which is assign. And the aim of the game is to get the business owner out of this equation as quickly as possible. Depending on the size of the team, if you've got some freelancers or some staff that have worked with you, there's a good chance that there is knowledge trapped inside the business already, inside the head of different team members. So once you've mapped the critical client flow, you think, well, who knows how to do this thing to a good standard or even a great standard? Who is the best person at answering the phone? Who is the best person at writing that blog post that we SEO and we put on our site to get some traffic? Who is the best person who's doing the sales process? And you identify those people, avoiding the business owner as much as possible, understanding that if we're able to capture who does it the best and at bare minimum bring everybody up to that standard, like you don't have to have the world's best sales process and get it right the first time. Just capture what you're already doing and the person who's doing it best and then get everybody at least following that standard. And that's base level one. Then you go through like number three in the systemology process is the extraction phase. And that's where you then start to extract that knowledge from the heads of those team members. And you start to realize things like, hang on, there's two people to the extraction phase. There's the person who has the knowledge, and then there's the person who does the documentation. If you split those two people, if you just record someone doing the task and getting another person to do the documentation, you make it infinitely easier for that knowledgeable person to actually create a system. Because as the business owner, you're busy. Even your best staff members are often busy. So you want to make the process as easy as possible. They might not even enjoy writing systems and processes. So maybe you just record them doing it, get someone else to do the documentation, and then they can edit. Because everybody loves to edit. Like if you sent me a Word document and it was empty and you said, hey, I want you to write a system and a process for how we answer the phone, I'd go, ugh. But if you sent me a document with the bullet points already captured because you listen to the way that I already do it currently and you say, right, now go ahead and edit this document, that I don't mind so much because now I look at the document and, you know, who doesn't like editing heaps more than writing from a blank page, especially if it's a process that is modeled after something that I do. So, I mean, there are different phases. I suppose the last point to talk specifically to your question around getting the team to follow it. So we go define, assign, extract, organize, and then we've got integrate, scale, and optimize. In the integrate phase, there is also, we address a lot of getting your team buy-in. That's the most challenging part. It's one thing to have a system documented. It's another to actually get your staff to follow it. And there are some real art and the science and the managing of your team and getting them to follow through. That's really where all the magic happens. Like if you shift and you change the culture and it becomes, this is the way that we do things, then that's the game changer.
Yeah, that cultural shift can take a long time sometimes, but it's really worthwhile in the long run. What are some of the landmines that business owners might run across when trying to get these things rolling, documenting, if you will, and creating the system and getting the buy-in? And what along the way should we be aware of that we need to see early on?
The biggest thing is just being aware of some of the misconceptions that you have, those faulty assumptions. You might have reached the conclusion and thought, I need to be the one to create the systems and the processes. You might think that systems and processes are time consuming to create. You might think that you need complex software to make it happen. You might think, if I had these documented, my team's not going to follow them anyway. Or you might think that you have to optimize like McDonald's or that systems remove creativity. I think you just need to be aware of whatever these biases are or ideas that pop into your head and how you feel about systems. And you need to test those assumptions because 9 times out of 10, they're false when you press on them. And you might have just tried once and came to that conclusion, or you heard someone else talk about systems and you thought, oh, this is why systems won't work for me. And oftentimes the business owner they are big picture thinkers. They're the visionaries in the business, and they're not great on the detail, and they don't really like systems. So they think that their staff won't like systems, but that's their bias. The thing is, a lot of great staff, A players, actually like systems and processes because it shows them how to win at the game and how to excel in their role. So by having great systems and processes, you can empower them. Now, I'm not talking about systemizing your business to every nth degree so you can hire a 15-year-old kid who can come into your business and flip burgers or whatever it may be. Like, I still love the idea of hiring really intelligent team members, and then systems end up being a shortcut. It's a powerful thing for them to be able to move quicker and reach quicker conclusions and decisions and get better outcomes because they now have some guidelines and rules. But I'm not looking to have robots or dummies come and work in an organization. So that's like another key thing, that you might have some sort of misconception that that's what we're trying to do, which we aren't. So yeah, it's rethinking about it and understanding that all business owners at some point in time have to cross this bridge. If you have grown your business to a certain size and you are now stuck, there is no other way through. You can't build a business and scale and get the freedom that you want without doing this. So you need to find a way to solve it. Otherwise, you will be forever trapped in your business. These are the laws of the universe. You don't get angry because thinking, oh, the sun's going to come up every day. Like, you just accept it because that's just the way it is. And once you have this insight and you realize that systems are central to building a great business, you just kind of go, okay, well, how do I do it now? And that's the point that you need to get to, because other people have come before you and they have done it and they've achieved the result. So there's nothing special or unique about them that they're doing that you can't do. With the right guidance and the right process, you'll be able to do it too.
David, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We really, really enjoyed talking with you, and we're very excited for this new book.
Thank you. Yeah, my pleasure. Just love coming on and talking about this stuff. And the interview's just been great. I know I've probably done most of the talking, but just gets me fired up. I just know what an impact getting this right can have for business owners.
And is there anything else you'd like to leave for our listeners?
Probably the best thing to do, depending on when you're listening to this, the Systemology book is just about to come out now. So if you head over to systemology.com/book, you can grab yourself a couple of preview chapters of the book. I've got some extra little resources that you might find quite helpful. Or you can even head over to Amazon. The book's listed on Amazon, and I've got the Audible version coming out. And the book's called Systemology: Create Time, Reduce Errors, and Scale Your Profits with Proven Business Systems. So if I'm going to say anything self-serving, that's probably it. And I think you'll find it incredibly helpful when you get the book. I've put my heart and soul into this book. I've compressed all of my best thinking around business systemization with a very specific purpose to solve this problem that I don't think is very well addressed. I think it's probably one of the least well addressed areas of business, yet it's so fundamental to business. So just head to systemology.com/book.
Our guest today has been David Jennings. You can learn more about David as well as find links to his webpage and new book, all at businessownersradio.com.
Thank you for joining us on Business Owners Radio. We hope you enjoyed today's show. As always, you can read more about each episode along with links and offers in the show notes on our website, businessownersradio.com. We want to hear your feedback. Please leave comments on this show or suggestions for upcoming episodes. Tell your fellow business owners about the show, and of course, we would love the stars and comments on iTunes. Till next time, keep taking care of business.